I'd like to speak on the book of Philemon, dividing the book into two sections. Verses 1 through 7, I'll call personal Christianity, and verses 8 through 24, practical Christianity. Now, of course, personal Christianity and practical Christianity are linked together. One is the direct outcome of the other. For unless we have a personal Christianity, we're not going to have a practical Christianity. So let's read Philemon verses 1 through 7. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Philemon is a personal letter from the Apostle Paul and is related in time and geography with the letter to the Colossians. No doubt both letters, the book of Colossians and the book of Philemon, were delivered at one time from Paul's prison cell in Rome to Colossae by Tychicus and Onesimus. Philemon was a leading figure in the church. There are three things that we want to consider about this passage. And first of all, in verses 1 and 2, we have a personal greeting. Now, there's a question of a personal letter being inspired by God. There are many who see the need of the letters to the churches. But there is a question, would God inspire Paul to write a personal letter to a man like Philemon? And of course, the question relates to John's epistles as well, the second and third. But I see no need for a question, for there is nothing more natural than a personal letter inspired by a personal God. God is concerned with the individual, and Paul takes up an individual problem with an individual. And this, of course, is how God deals with us, not en masse, but personally. This is a personal letter, and because we have it in the Holy Scriptures, it is inspired of God, and its message is very, very important. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. This is a greeting that he used before. And it relates to his Roman imprisonment. And as always, Paul is concerned with the will of God, not the will of man. And so he acknowledges here, not that he is a prisoner of Rome or of Caesar, but he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And it implies very, very definitely his recognition and his acceptance of the will of God. And I think that this is an important lesson for each of us to understand and to realize that God has a purpose. And the things that happen to us don't happen to us by chance, but happen to us according to the purpose of God. Paul's in prison. He's shut up from his activity and from his travels. But it is the will of God, and he recognizes and accepts this, and in accepting it, he has the peace of God and the appreciation of God's path and purpose. And this, of course, is appreciation which we ought to have in our individual daily lives in relation to the purposes of God. So it's from Paul the prisoner unto Philemon. Now, as we've said, Philemon is a leader in the church at Colossae. And as he is addressed, the apostle says of him, beloved fellow laborer. Now, this is not something which is used often, particularly the term fellow laborer. Paul uses it in connection with certain co-workers, men like Timothy and Luke, but it's not used frivolously, and so we recognize that the apostle considers Philemon to be a very, very important partner in the things of God. And as he addresses him as a co-laborer, he addresses him as one who is beloved. And so we have the idea of love and labor related together. And this, of course, is something that we have over and over again in Scripture. Very, very important that Christians work together, but it is important as well that they love each other and relate together in that particular relationship which the Lord Jesus prayed about and was concerned about in connection with his disciples. Then his greeting goes on, and he includes our beloved Apphia. Now, Apphia is Philemon's wife, and she's a very, very important part of the household and a very, very important part of the work at Colossae. And I think that this is something that one needs to recognize more and more, and that is the place and partnership of women in the work of God and in the Church of Jesus Christ. She was part of the home, but she was a partner as well in the work of God. Along with Philemon then and Apphia, the greeting includes Archippus, our fellow soldier. Now Archippus is the son of Philemon and Apphia. He's called a fellow soldier. And again, this isn't a term that's used very often. In fact, it's only used once in relation to Epaphroditus. And it means a co-struggler, a co-struggler. And so we gather from that Archippus also had a place in the work of God in the relationship of Paul and his parents. Now there's an interesting reference to Archippus in the book of Colossians chapter 4 and verse 17. As Paul ends the letter to Colossians, he says in verse 17, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Now he is a fellow soldier. He's a co-struggler with the Apostle Paul. But there seems some fear in Paul's mind of his continuance. He has a ministry, but it seems that it's a possibility that that ministry will not be fulfilled. And again, I think that we can have an important lesson here. Our work for God is not automatically completed. We can go on, but we can leave off. It's possible not to finish our course, the same as it's possible to finish our course. Now, Archippus is a fellow soldier, Paul says, and he doesn't use it lightly. But he also is one who needs the admonition to go on. We see the same thing in connection with Timothy. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul encourages him to stir up his gift and to move forward in the work of God and not allow himself to be set aside. Then in connection with the greeting, we have grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is Paul's trademark. These are the things which he says over and over again as he writes his particular letters. And of course, both grace and peace are very, very important things which come to us because of God and from God. The second thing we want to notice in this letter come to us in verses 4 and 5, and that is personal gratitude. Personal greeting first, and then personal gratitude. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. I thank God. The apostle had recognized the importance of the people of God. And as you read his letters, you notice this note of thanksgiving for individuals and for groups. This thankfulness is something which is very, very important as well. And thankfulness for others of the people of God will stop our criticism of others in the family of God. And it's something that we need to consider. I thank God. He's thanking God for Philemon. But as he thanks God for Philemon, he prays for him as well. And I suppose that's only natural. For as we think of Philemon, or as we think of any other child of God, we can be thankful for certain things, and yet there are other things in our minds which we must pray for. And this certainly is true here and in every case. I thank God, and I pray for you. Now, what brought on this note of thanksgiving? I think we have this in verse 5. He says, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus and towards all saints. He's thankful for Philemon, and he's praying for him because he has heard of progress and development in grace in relation to his life. Notice it says, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast towards the Lord Jesus. Now, love and faith is not the order related to salvation. When we're thinking of salvation, we're thinking of faith and love. John tells us in his epistle, we love him because he first loved us. And the Holy Spirit brings us to faith in Jesus Christ, and that faith and trust in Jesus Christ produces love. Here we have love and faith. This is the order of growth and development, and emphasizes the necessity for faith apart from that initial belief, that initial trust in the Lord Jesus Christ that brings us freedom from the penalty of sin and relationship with God as a child. Love and faith. In the book of Colossians chapter 2, verse 6, the apostle says to the people of God, and of course in the same place where we find Philemon, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Now the question is, how did we receive Christ Jesus the Lord? We received him by faith. How do we go on with the Lord Jesus then? We go on by faith. So the apostle thanks God for the love that Philemon has for the Lord Jesus, and that is very, very important. We love the Lord Jesus Christ not only because he's taken away our sins, but because we are becoming increasingly aware of his greatness and his goodness and our need of him and his person. And this should be a growing thing. But as we appreciate the Lord Jesus more and more, our faith or our trust in him grows more and more. And so it's a walk of dependence upon him. And as I said, this isn't salvation here, but Christian growth. But notice the rest of the verse, and this also is something included in this thanksgiving. He says, and towards all saints. Let's read the whole thing. Hearing of thy love and faith towards all saints. Now we see how it fits in relation to the Lord Jesus. Now how does it fit in relation to all saints? It's the same order, notice. Love and faith. Love, we can understand. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. Philemon has shown that love. He has demonstrated it. And it's very, very important that we carry on and recognize the need for love towards the people of God. But what about faith? Trust. This is important too. And again, as we get to know and appreciate the people of God, we get to trust them. We become dependent on them more and more. And this, of course, is what makes up an interdependent body, which is the Church of Jesus Christ. Many times people talk about loving the saints, but by their very actions and attitudes, it's easily recognized they don't trust the saints. And the two go together in relation to the Lord Jesus, and certainly in relation to the saints as well. So there is personal gratitude for Philemon and for the demonstration in his life of Christian development. The third part of this passage that we have before us we'll call personal growth. Personal growth. Now, Paul strove within his own life for personal development. He recognized, as he says, that he has not come to the end, that he's pressing forward. He has a desire to know deeper the things of God and the things of the Lord Jesus. And as he desired personal growth himself, he desired and saw the possibility of personal growth in others of the people of God. So he says in verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How is a person to grow? Well, I believe that here in this verse, we have the key. Paul asks that the communication of Philemon's faith be active, be developing. Now, communication in this passage and in many other passages doesn't mean just words. It's an active thing. Most often, it's used of the giving of tangible things. It carries with it the idea of communion and fellowship. It's a sharing, really. Now, what the apostle desires is that Philemon might share his faith effectively. Now again, this doesn't mean solely that he should become a witness to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. But the word faith means all that has become part of Philemon's experience because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's everything related to faith that the apostle is asking development in. So he prays, or he requests rather, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. And of course, he gives the way this is going to be accomplished, by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, he doesn't stop with in you, every good thing in you. He's not considering here personal intelligence. He's not considering personal power or wit or emotion. All of these things God can use as they are part and parcel of our personality. But he's saying your communication of faith is going to be effectual only as you acknowledge every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, the word acknowledge or acknowledging means the recognition of those things which are in you in Christ Jesus. Now, what are those good things which being relied on can give us growth in the sharing of our faith in every part? Well, there's life, first of all. That's a good thing which is in us through Christ Jesus. We have the life of God. And the only way we have the life of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Another is the indwelling Holy Spirit of God and His work, which develops grace and gift and so on. There's the Word of God. Now, the Word of God is exterior to us in a sense, but the Word of God is a good thing which is in us. Now, again, in 2 Timothy, the apostle uses this same phrase, that good thing which is in you. And he relates that good thing to the Word of God, which was in Timothy. And it's another important thing that is in us because of Christ Jesus. And of course, there are many, many other things which could be considered our possessions because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as Philemon, and as we recognize those good things and yield to their working and to the leading and understanding which they provide, we're going to find ourselves growing, becoming effectual in the sharing of all that's related to faith. And this is what Paul is looking for in connection with the personal growth of Philemon and, of course, of ourselves as well. Always, as Paul speaks to these men and women in the Scriptures, he commends what is commendable, but he instructs in areas of weakness. Now, in verse 7, he understands that growth is taking place. He understands that there is a communication that is going on, and he's grateful for it. He says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels or the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother." He knows that Philemon is communicating, but he asks that a greater dependency, a greater recognition of the good things provided by Jesus Christ will bring greater effectiveness in his personal life and in his personal growth. Personal Christianity is development within. And that's where development must start. The demonstration of our inner development outwardly is what we consider to be practical Christianity. And that is the subject we have in the rest of the book of Philemon.